Hafaday, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Will Galkin. It was presented in September of 2006. The title to the message, Don't Waste Your Life.
Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let the heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God shall bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from the heart. Put away vanity from thy flesh, for child and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The context of the Ecclesiastes is this. A life without God is wasted. Have you ever known that it doesn't matter what's in a guy's bank account? He dies. Whether you're poor or rich, you die. Whether you're smart or you're kind of like the sucker I was throwing out, you will all die. Doesn't matter if you're intelligent, strong, or attractive. In fact, when you read Ecclesiastes, you almost get a sense that it's futile. And sometimes we can think that we can teach in such a way that we can say that God is against pleasure, but that's not true because God created pleasure. He wants you to enjoy life. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, but in the midst of enjoying life, remember that God is your creator. Your life is going to go by so fast, and so in the midst of your speedy life, don't forget God. Enjoy life. But remember your Creator. My son William, he enjoys life. You know what he's doing right now? He's going on his first ever camping trip right now. I just talked to our mom left a voice message, and she had all the girls that were around there. All the girls are spending the night, the little girls that are friends with Anna Grace, they're spending the night in our trailer, and all the boys got to go on a camping trip. I wish I could go on a camping trip right now with my son. But you know what? He loves life. In fact, one day, remember I was telling you, he's a boy and he's three and he's a boy and he's three and he's three and he's a boy. And he gets in trouble. In fact, he was getting a little swat on the hiney, and he was wiggling or something, and maybe the spoon maybe didn't get quite on his hiney, and he said, Mommy, you spanked my back. And mom's like, well, you know, sin hurts. But you know what? The next day he got another spanking, and this time it was right on where it's supposed to go. And he looked up at mom and said, Mama, my back is happy. He said, my bottom's happy. And he goes, no, my bottom's sad. He loves life. He just loves playing. He loves wrestling. He loves taking pillows and getting into pillow fights. He just enjoys life. And God wants you to enjoy your life. But in the midst of your busy, fun-filled life, remember God. What does it mean to remember God? Well, in a moment, I'm going to give you five reasons why you're supposed to remember God. But let me just tell you what it means to remember God. To remember God, well, we see in verse 13 of Ecclesiastes 12, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. To remember God is to live in awe of His presence. It's a daily, moment-by-moment reality of God. It's a reality that God owns you. He's your creator. It's God who will judge you. It's God who loves you. It's practicing the presence of God. To remember God is to live in awe of His presence. How many of you would say it'd be pretty amazing if all of a sudden this ceiling just cracked open and you saw God? How many think that'd be pretty amazing? Would you raise your hand? How many of you would all of a sudden be like, whoa, I mean, you know what I mean? It'd be just awe-inspiring. How many of you have ever been somewhere where they have a king or queen? Would you raise your hand? And you've been somewhere where they have a king or queen, and you all of a sudden saw this king or this queen, and they were in your presence. Or how many of you think it'd be pretty cool if all of a sudden, like President Bush just came in here, and he just said, I just want to share with the Harvest Baptist, Christian Academy, I just want to share a few words with you. How many think that'd be pretty cool? Would you raise your hand? And all of a sudden, he stands up, and he starts speaking to you. I mean, that'd be pretty awesome. You know what? Every single one of us, we would just be so much in awe. To remember God is to live in awe of His presence. But in turn, to remember God, it's to submit to His will and His word. It's a God focus. You could write this down. To remember God, it means it's a God focus that results in obedience. You know what many of us need? We need a God focus. We need to be reminded that there is a God, that this God reigns, this God rules. It's a God focus that results in obedience. That's what it means to remember God. But you say, Will, why do I need to remember God? It's because we forget three things about God, and we forget two things about ourselves. Three things about God, two things about ourselves. Remember God because you forget that you have a creator and that He is God. Remember now thy creator. Notice that it's personal. Remember now thy creator. You see, we all have a desire to live autonomous from God. This rebel heart, we inherited it from Adam. How many of you have ever heard your mom talking, but you've kind of pushed it out of your mind and you didn't want to like focus on it? Would you raise your hand? It's not that you couldn't hear, it's that you chose not to listen. You know why you need to remember God? Because the allurements of this world are so loud. How many of you would say, Will, I try to live for God, but sometimes all the temptations around me are really loud. Would you raise your hand? This world screams for your attention. This world, not the dirt, not the people, but the whole world system, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. In fact, if we're not careful, many people have become a generation of practical atheists. We just, at the point of our sin, we've forgotten God. Do you remember David and Bathsheba? The story when David looks out of his window and he sees Bathsheba taking his bath and he sends for her and he commits adultery. At that moment, was David raising his hand up to heaven and saying, I hate God? Was that what he's saying? You know what he did at that moment? This is what he did. He just forgot that there was a God. He forgot that God was watching him. He forgot that God knew him. He forgot that God was going with him. And many times at that point of our sin, listen to Dietrich Bonhoeffer as he said, with an irresistible power, desire seizes over our flesh. All at once, a secret smoldering fire is kindled. The flesh burns and is in flames. It makes no difference whether it's sexual desire, ambition, or vanity, or revenge, or love of fame. At this moment, God is quite unreal to us. He loses all reality. The only desire is for the creature. The only reality is the devil. Satan does not fill us with a hatred for God. He fills us with a forgetfulness of God. And you know what? Some of us, we just forget that there's a God. It is time for you to remember God. It is time to remember your creator, because you forget that you have a creator, that there's somebody that's in charge of you, and that He is God. Why do we need to remember God? Because we forget that we have a creator and that He is God. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves, and we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You need to remember God because you forget that you have a creator and that He's God. You forget that you have somebody who made you. You forget that you have somebody that's over you. You forget it. And He is God. Look right up here. But you know what else we forget? You need to remember God because you forget that your Creator is good. Do you know that God is good? In fact, the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. In fact, sometimes I think that we think that the world is all about fun and God is all about boring. We think that this world is all about exciting and God is about drudgery and duty. But you know what it says right here? It says that there is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink and should make his soul enjoy good in his labor, and that this is from the hand of God. It says in Ecclesiastes 3:12, it says, and every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor, and it is a gift of God. It says in Ecclesiastes 9:9, live joyfully with thy wife, which thou lovest all the days days of the life of thy vanity. How many of you one day want to get married? Man, I love being married. My wife is my best friend. We'll get together and we'll start laughing. In fact, just a couple days before I came to Guam, we were laying in our bed and she was telling me jokes and I was laughing. Not because she's funny, but because she's not funny. And I'm laughing and I'm saying, your jokes are not funny. And she's taking pillows and now she's beating me with them and I'm laughing. You know, she's my best friend. We enjoy talking together. You know what? Look right up here. Just the other day, yesterday, I called her like, you know, because of the time change and all that. I called her like at night and I woke up and I called her again. And then I called her like 10 minutes later because she's just my best friend. You know, and I am so glad that God made man and wife. And he said, live joyfully with thy wife all the days of thy life. But you look at all of creation and God is good. Day one, you know what God made? He made all the universe. Day two, he made the sky. Yesterday, the sky was pretty. Did you look up at the sky yesterday? You know, how many enjoy watching clouds go across? My son and I, we were sitting in a chair and there was those cotton ball kind of clouds, you know. And he's going, 1, 2, 3. Four, and then he goes, I could eat them. It's just so fun. Aren't you glad God didn't make the sky boring? Aren't you glad he made it? How many enjoy good Guam sunsets? Would you raise your hand? Aren't they pretty? To watch that sunset and all the colors and the reds and the purples and the oranges. And God made that. Why? Because he's good. And day three, he made the landscape, the vegetation, the Garden of Eden. He made food. How many are glad God made food? Would you raise your hand? God is good. And day four, he made the sun, the moon, the stars. How many of you were out with a friend and you just started seeing some of the stars and one of your friends goes, there's the Big Dipper. And you're like, duh. We were driving with our kids and all of a sudden there was a shooting star and it was this big old blue streak. I mean, it just went slow, just slowly across. My kids are like, whoa. And Christy and I are like, cool. And then the next day, another one comes from the other direction, shoots over the same way, just blue and long. Day five, he made the sea animals and the birds. How many of you like putting on some snorkel gear or some scuba gear and you go into the water and you're checking out the coral reef and you're just looking at all of God's creation? Wasn't God good to create things that were beautiful? Wasn't God good to create things that are enjoyable? And then he made land animals. How many of you have a pet? Anybody have a pet? How many like your pet? Raise your hand. How many hate your pet? No, just put your hands down. Look up here. You know what? When I was a little boy, I was scared of dogs. And so my parents, they got this big old sheep, English sheepdog, this big old fluffy dog. And this dog, that was, we called him Flower, called her Flower. And Flower would lay down, and I was really scared of dogs, but Flower was my friend, and pretty soon, as a little boy, he got pictures of me snuggling up, and I would be taking a nap on Flower. You know what? God's good to give us these things. God is a good God. He cares about you, and you forget that you've got a God that is your creator. You forget that you've got a God who is good, and thou wilt show him the path of life, and in thy presence is a fullness of joy, and that thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of the heart, and every good gift is, and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Can I tell you something? God is good. And some of you think that God is mean and you think that this world is the way to satisfy you, but the biggest lie from Satan is Satan tells all of us, he whispers and he says, I can make you more happy than God can. That is not true. And Satan comes and he says in your ear and he says in your heart, I'm going to give you more joy. I'm going to give you more satisfaction. I'm going to give you more things than God could ever give. But let me tell you something, that is a lie and Satan is the chief liar. Remember God, because you forget you have a God who is your creator. You forget that your God is good and you forget your God as your creator will judge you. Our sinful, selfish choices demand consequences. Verse 9, but know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Do you understand that the judgment of God is not some far-off entity, but the judgment of God could even be now? A life of pain. How many of you have ever felt pain because of one of your sinful choices? Would you raise your hand? Who's ever felt that? All right. How many of you know somebody, maybe somebody that graduated from the school, or a brother, or a sister, or a cousin, you know somebody that's got a lot of pain in their life because of some sinful choices? Would you raise your hand? You know, these are specific seasons of affliction. These are days of a calamity that come from sinful choices. The way of the transgressor is hard. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. You know what, some of you got pain coming down the road. It's like you're walking blindly into a four-lane highway, and you're just kind of walking, and here comes this semi, and it's going to run right over you, and you're kind of like, whatever, dude. There's a life of pain that comes with sinful choices, and you got to remember your God because he's your creator. You got to remember your God because he's good, but you got to remember your God because he will judge you, and it could be a life of pain. But it could be a life of boredom. When thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, I sorrow from my heart, because life without mission is boring. You were created to know and enjoy God, but meaninglessness does not come from a being weary of pain. Meaninglessness comes from being weary of pleasure. A life spent waiting for the next movie, the next video game, the next update on your website, the next email. A life waiting for the next little thing is a boring, boring life. You know you're bored when you check a website like 3 times in the day and it doesn't change any of those times. You're bored. You know you're bored when you're checking your email and it's like you just checked it 5 minutes ago and you didn't get anything else. You're like, oh man, dude. You know you're bored when you're calling up your friend and nobody's answering and you keep on calling like every 2 minutes. Ring. Oh, dude. Ring. Ring. You're a bored person. Life waiting for the next game. I mean, you know what it's like to be bored. You got like your 360 controller in your hand and you're playing and all of a sudden you're like, oh man, dude, this is boring. You're hanging out with your friends and you're doing something, and all of a sudden you're like, man, I'm bored. I'm just going home. And you just go sleep, you know? You know you're bored. Don't you know what God's trying to do? He's trying to show you life without God is boring. I mean, I like English Premier League soccer. How many like soccer? Anybody? And I like following. There's this one team. It's my favorite team. It's called Liverpool. And then there's this other team, which I don't like, and they're called Chelsea. And Chelsea is like, there's some rich Russian bought Chelsea, and he spent something like, right now it's something like $700 million just on players, and he's trying to win one specific game. It's called the UEFA Cup. It's this Champions League. It's all the best clubs in Europe, and they play against each other, and Chelsea really wants to win this, and so he's forking out all this dough and all this money, and 2 years ago, guess what? It was Liverpool in the quarterfinals against Chelsea. And guess who won? Liverpool. And they beat Chelsea. And man, Roman Abramovich, the owner, the Russian owner, he was so mad. I mean, he's firing players and they're buying new players because he's so bored that all he has to do in life is try to win a soccer game. Can you imagine what's going to happen when he finally wins? What's next? And some of you are so bored because life without God is boring. Sorrow comes to those that want greatness without God. Comedy without God brings a frown. In Ecclesiastes it said, I said of laughter, it is mad, and mirth, and what doeth it? There's some of you stay up late to watch a movie, and you get done with the movie, and then you're just bored. You're sitting there, and you're just watching TV, and you're like, man, this is boring. Wisdom without God leaves you in despair. Sexual pleasure without God results in disappointment and despair. Hard work without God creates a hatred for life. I know kids that are really, really smart, and in turn, they'll get all these scholarships to colleges, and I've known kids in college that they were so consumed with academics that one day they committed suicide because academics without God It doesn't satisfy. And some of you, you may choose to come right here to Harvest because you're saying, man, I want to be smart. I want to make sure and get a lot of wisdom. But let me tell you something, wisdom without God, it doesn't work. Religion without God brings self-righteousness. Wealth without God brings a temptation and a snare. Godless existence is vanity of vanities. God is the only perpetual novelty, but it results in a life of vanity. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, a life where nothing lasts for eternity. I was talking to one girl, and I said, hey, so tell me about your life, and tell me about your boyfriend. And she goes, well, we're physical, but we don't go all the way. I said, well, I mean, tell me about your music. She goes, well, I don't like listen to good music, but I don't like listen to 50 Cent or stuff like that. I'm just kind of, I mean, I'm not like really bad. Look up here, guys. What do you watch? Well, I watch all this stuff, but I don't like watch really like rated X stuff. I said, you say you're a Christian. Let me ask you a question. What do you have in your life that will last for eternity? She said, nothing. I looked at her and I said, so basically, you're wasting your life. Don't waste your life. Did you hear me? Don't waste your life. And some of us, we have nothing to show for eternity. We just go through life and we go to school and we go to our little pleasure and we go to our friends and we do this and we do this. Don't waste your life. Some of us, we have nothing to show for eternity. You want to know why you need to remember your Creator? Because first of all, you forget that your Creator is God. You forget that your God is good. You forget that your God will judge you. But then you forget two things about yourself. You forget that you're growing older. Verse 10 of chapter 11, it says, therefore remove sorrow from the heart, put away evil from my flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. That word vanity, the whole idea is that it just goes so fast. In fact, when you read there in the verses, verse 2, it says, there'll be a day when you can't serve God. Your strength is gone. Your teeth fall out. Your eyesight gives way. Your ears are deafened. Your sleep is hindered. Your fears increase. Your body begins to age. Every choice to forget God is ingraining the habit deeper into your life. How many of you can remember in elementary school when you thought that like 10th graders were really big? How many of you remember that? You're like, man, 10th graders are so awesome. And then you turn into 10th grade and you're like, man, like the 11th and 12th graders, they're bigger, man. When I was in Idaho, you could get your driver's license at 14. How many think that'd be pretty cool? Would you raise your hand? How many think it'd be scary? Put your hands down. And so my dad and I, we had a Volkswagen Bug. Have you guys seen a Volkswagen Bug? Not the new ones that are like floofy. I'm talking like one of those old ones where they're really tough and they're loud inside, and you step inside and you smell like fuel and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so we worked on this on my 16th birthday. Man, I got to drive my Volkswagen Bug. And then after I was 16, then I couldn't wait for like to turn 18, you know? It's like you can't wait to graduate, and then you can't wait to go to college, and then you can't wait to get a ministry, and then I couldn't wait to get married, and then I couldn't wait to have kids, and then I can't wait to retire, and then I can't wait to die. We just forget we're growing older, don't we? It just goes by so fast. My grandpa, he got saved when he was 86 years old. How many think that's pretty awesome? Would you raise your hand? But you know, my grandpa, we'd sit down, and he was going blind, and so we'd watch the Boston Red Sox. Anybody like baseball? Anybody like baseball? All right, so he loved the Boston Red Sox, and I'd be telling him play-by-play, and one time he gets up, and his body's all hunched over, and he walks over to the kitchen, and I was thinking, I'm so glad that my grandpa saved. But my grandpa, he wasted his life. Don't waste your life. You forget you're growing older. You forget that this life is cruising on by. You forget that your days are numbered, and you forget that one day you will die, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loose, or the golden bowl be broken, and the pitcher broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. How many of you have ever dropped a glass or a bowl or something, and you watched it fall through the air, and it was like it was going slow motion? Anybody ever done that before? You're like, no! And all of a sudden it starts speeding up. Your life goes by so fast. Last August, I was speaking at a school, and this school had a football team. And this kid, he left to practice, and he went to go to the mall to buy some clothes or pick up his check from work. And he was looking down as he was driving, and his car went right in front of a big old truck. And this husband and wife team that were driving the truck, they said he didn't even look up. Bam. Flips the car. He gets thrown out of the car about 35 feet. He was 18 years old. He was dead. This kid came to camp and he broke his big old femur bone. And so he got wrapped in a waterproof cast, and he thought that he could go swimming because it's waterproof. And he was in the water and he's kicking his leg, and that bone wasn't set yet. And it separated, and that bone ripped right into his artery, and he bled to death. One day you will die. My little girl, we came to a church, and there was all this cemetery, and she goes, Daddy, what's that? I said, cemetery. She said, what's the cemetery for? I said, I'll show you the lesson of the cemetery. And I took Anna Grace's hand, and I walked through there, and I said, in here is where the bodies of people who had died. There's a boy who died at 7 years old. There's a lady who, she was 42. There's a man, he was 76. But Anna Grace, it doesn't matter how old you live, because one day you will die. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. To remember God is to live in awe of His presence. To remember God is to submit to His will. It's a God focus that results in obedience. And stop living like the world and in the fear of man, and start living in the reality that there is a God, and that their God is good. God is good. This world lies to you, but this God will judge you. And you'll give an account of the things done in this body. It's time for us to remember God.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled, Don't Waste Your Life, from Evangelist Will Gulkin. It was originally presented in September of 2006 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented in conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.